Welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. And the name of this series is called Who Let the Dogs Out? Today I'm interviewing Miss Kim Hyde, who is the service dog manager at Prison Pet Partnership Program. And I thought on this interview, what we'd like to do is talk about dogs in general and what's good for them, what things we need when we work with dogs, when we train them. For all people that have pets, for themselves or for their families, there's a lot of responsibility in taking care of particularly a service dog, but any dog in general, any pet in general, because you have a responsibility. That animal relies on you for food and shelter and everything. So, first of all, let me ask you, Kim, how do you choose a dog that's going to be the right mix for you?
Well, that's kind of a complicated question, but I prioritize quite a few things. Definitely the energy level of the dog. Do a lot of research into the breed, if it's a mixed breed or a purebred that you are interested in. And I talk to people that have that breed and find out exactly what it takes to exercise them. And what a lot of people don't realize is it's not just a matter of the dog goes in the backyard and runs around and exercises itself. That's actually rarely a solution. It's, does that dog need 2 30-minute walks a day? Does that dog need a 5-mile run and 2 30-minute walks a day? Does that dog need a 5-mile run, 2 30-minute walks a day and playing ball? And or is it a working breed, such as a German Shepherd that's bred to work, or a dog that is bred to hunt and also needs mental stimulation, meaning training, meaning obedience, also potentially meaning a job? Do you need to teach that dog to find something with its nose or chase a Frisbee and do tricks? You know, there's so many different levels to how much exercise does the dog need, physical and mental. Also care. Some people can care for a dog with a long coat. I've owned a couple breeds now with long coats. I've also owned a large standard poodle. That's not something, at least for myself, I'm comfortable maintaining. It was expensive to groom the poodle every month, very expensive. And I'm not talented enough to do that grooming myself. And the long-coated breeds require extensive brushing every day to keep that dog happy and healthy. Shaving a dog is actually the worst thing you can do for a dog that isn't bred to be shaved. That coat is in place to protect them from sunburn, insulate them to and from heat and cold. And it's just really sad, even for the groomers, when people get golden retrievers and collies and bring them into a groomer to get shaved every year, when that's not what they were meant to do.
And I know, you know, one of the things you mentioned was sunburn. And I don't think that we, you know, we somehow think of dogs as something different and that they can get sunburned like we can. Or when we have these hot summer days like we had in the past, and not so rainy, that we have to, when we're walking a dog and the asphalt is hot.
Yep.
You know, we have to be careful about those kinds of things
too. Absolutely. No. And a lot of the white breeds too, the boxers, the pit bulls, if you do not put sunblock on them at times, they do get sunburned, and they also can get frostbite very easily on their tails. And these are common things that the veterinarians see. So medical care is another one that if people don't consider it, those adorable old English bulldogs with the wrinkly faces, people love them. They think they're great. But I will tell you, most of us cannot afford to own one. They have so many chronic medical problems. And so this is all research you should do before considering a breed.
Yeah. And I would think, you know, I see a lot of people in downtown Seattle, mm-hmm. and Most of them live in apartments. I would think you would want at least a medium-sized dog, I would think, as opposed to, you know, a Great Dane or Pyrenees or something like that. I mean, you need to have space for those dogs, correct?
Yes. It's really more about the breed. Those are all very active breeds. The Pyrenees are farm breed, and Danes too. When they're younger, at least, they like to run and play. But some large dogs like Greyhounds do really well in apartments. Those are some of the biggest couch potatoes out there. After their little racing stint is over with, and they mature around 2 or 3 years of age. So I tell people, don't disregard them if you want a large breed in an apartment, but make sure it's the right large breed. Make sure it's an older dog. Make sure you still can meet its walking needs. And absolutely be aware of how much space that dog will take up in your apartment.
You know, I think one of the times in my life when I really realized the difference in, you know, in a lot of breeds of dogs was by Lincoln Park over here, and I was watching several women jog with dogs, and one had a German Shepherd, and German Shepherd is just going along really quickly with the dogs or with the runner, and the other person was trying to jog with 2 Basset Hounds, and the Basset Hounds were going in different directions at the same time, and I thought, you know, maybe you're not going to get much of a run with that 2 Basset Hounds that want to smell everything. So, I mean, I think even, you know, looking at your lifestyle, is that something you do? Do you run? Do you, you know, do you walk? Those kinds of things. Let's talk a little bit about, and you mentioned the veterinary. Really important to get them in for inoculations and just to be checked over or...
Yeah, generally you want to take your dog in at least once a year, as long as they're in good health. As they progress in age, sometimes every 6 months is a better choice, so that you're not missing anything you could be due to helping them out with their mobility or their vision or hearing loss, just like elderly humans. And it's just a matter of making sure that every vaccine is kept up. Some of the, like the rabies, a lot of times is good for 2 or 3 years, depending on your county. There is a form of a distemper vaccination, which also is good for 3 years. And yet there's the kennel cough or the Bordetella, which is necessary to get boosted every year. So different vaccines have different lengths, just like with us.
Do dogs get grumpy like me when I'm getting older?
Yes. It's true. And I say people, that's something else that people don't consider getting a dog. So, you know, if you're going to be older and you're going to have a large older dog, I can tell you it's starting to catch up with me. I've got a 14-year-old German Shepherd now. Lifting her in and out of the car every day is not as easy as it was when I was 20. Same with having to do stairs in and out all the time. You know, for me, helping her is a huge concept. So I tell people too, think about that. Think about what your ability is going to be when that dog gets older.
And I know with my new service dog, you know, with Maya, I'm taking her down to the vets just to kind of have a meet and greet so she knows the vet, yep, to get a baseline on her weight and those kinds of things. And with Ellen, my previous service dog, I now take her into the vet at least twice a year to have them check her joints. And I do notice that she's, you know, her hearing is getting a little less. Yep. She used to come around the house if I would drive up the driveway. She could hear the car. Now she doesn't hear that. So I think to be aware of those kinds of things is really important. Let's talk about food. You know, I heard the statement one time that we sell food to dogs through humans, so we make the dog food look good to humans. But a little chuck wagon running around the kitchen, you know. But how do we manage food for dogs, and what kinds of things are good for them and what kinds of things aren't? That's another hard question, huh? Right?
It really is, because there's a lot of varying opinions out there. I always say talk to your veterinarian, but also be aware that if your dog has special needs, a veterinarian, you know, gets one course in nutrition. That's it. There are certified, you know, nutritionists out there that are certified in canine and feline nutrition that can help you more if you need additional help. There's also, just in the past 3 years, been huge movements towards a more healthy diet for dogs, and it may not just be kibble. Kibble is so easy for all of us, and we feed it to our dogs, and some dogs just don't think, they just eat it. But some of the dogs want fresher food, and now you can buy freeze-dried food, and you can buy frozen food and reheat it. You can, you know, get fresh food delivered to your dog every day. And, you know, there's people that feed raw food to their dogs. So there's a lot of variations to all of that. And again, it's something to consider when you're looking at a dog, and what are you financially able to do to take care of that dog. But I can tell you, diet is huge, and I've seen it change a dog's temperament. I have seen it fix skin allergies. I've seen it fix mobility. I have seen it fix so many things. And that's true even with us as humans, if we watch our diet carefully. So, but it also creates another expense if you cannot manage it in your budget and you get a dog that needs that.
You know, one of the things too, I think, is when you talk about the expense, mm-hmm. I was talking to my vet about my dog kind of having itches and scratches and stuff. And so I looked around and he said, well, you know, one of the things you can do is you can give them maybe a small amount of Benadryl. Now, you can buy it for dogs at 10 times the price, or you can, you know, get it at Costco and cut it in two. And you know, so there are probably ways of saving some money, too.
There are. But as you did, I would always, you know, go through your veterinarian right. and find the dose and tell them of your concerns and your problems. And see what you can do, and not just over the counter, but holistically as well. A lot of times that may not be the first go-to that your veterinarian does. And asking them alternative options, it's always a good choice.
I know there are some things that we shouldn't, you know, the dog just shouldn't have.
Sure.
Let's just talk about a few of those, like maybe certain kinds of bones or... I understand grapes and raisins are horrible, and I don't know why, but...
Yep, and everybody knows about chocolate, I think. It's cooked bones, usually, that are the problem, because they splinter and will puncture your dog intestinally. The biggest one that people are not keeping up on right now is xylitol, which is a chemical that is found in some types of chewing gum, but for some reason, well, I know why, for consistency purposes, they started putting it in a lot of peanut butters. And a lot of us use peanut butter to give our dogs pills. So if you don't check your peanut butter, you could be poisoning your dog inadvertently. And a smaller dog obviously is going to poison faster than a larger dog.
Is it a sweetener? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if I could spell it, but I know it's XY.
I think you're close.
Yeah, I'm close.
You're close.
Yeah. But that's a big one that people forget to watch out for. And then, of course, household plants. Dogs will occasionally nibble on plants or eat plants. And you've got to be careful with some of those plants being toxic and causing your dog severe gastric upset.
Let's talk a little bit about training dogs, because it's interesting when I take Maya out, I at least have three people that see that dog a day say, I wish my dog could do that, you know. So for someone who doesn't have a service dog that doesn't have to do tons of commands, what is the best way to train a dog? Is it just be consistent or?
Consistency is very important. Timing is important. Not everybody is a trainer, just like not everybody is a plumber and not everybody is an electrician. So finding a trainer you can work with, I think, is always a great solution. And there are some fantastic pet dog trainers, even at some of the pet stores. It's a matter of talking to people and finding who you connect with and who you feel can help you and your pet and your family. And not going to somebody just because they're who's closest or who's available. There's a lot of trainers out there with a lot of different philosophies. And I think it's good to shop around.
Should you also shop around for veterinarians, or should it be somebody
Absolutely.
That you're comfortable with?
Yes, because you're going to be having some very intimate conversations with this individual about your dog's personal life more than your own, but potentially your own as well if it affects your dog. So having a veterinarian you trust and having a veterinarian that treats you like a customer, that will take the time to talk to you and not just rush you in and out and will answer your phone call even to answer a question, is really important. And I think that's something that a lot of people miss, that they think any veterinarian's a veterinarian, and that's not true.
You know, we talk about dogs sometimes that dig or dogs that chew. Are those things that are kind of a nervous reaction, or is it the dog wants to be around people more often, or
chewing,
a variety of reasons?
Yeah, destructive chewing, digging, excessive barking. A lot of those are boredom. You know, dogs that are left, again, alone in the yard too long or too much. And yes, they want to be with you. And not only do they want to be with you, but they want to exercise with you. It's a dog that needs to go for a walk probably more often. And training may be necessary and or helpful and or fix the problem too.
Yes. I thought, you know, when I got my new service dog, Maya, and I started throwing the ball for her, I thought I would just, you know, play with her for a while until she got tired. And now it's I throw the ball until my arm gets tired, and she really, really enjoys that.
Yes.
How about toys for dogs? Any tips there?
No toy on the planet is indestructible.
Yes.
And no matter what they tell you in their advertisement, it's again knowing your dog and being safe, observing them with toys most of the time. And not leaving soft, squeaky toys everywhere where they can ingest them. They like to unstuff them and eat those squeakers a lot. And those can become a problem and get impacted and be thousands of dollars in vet bills.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like you mentioned with, you know, it's a lot easier to make sure. Like I had some rib bones the other day. And they're also really attractive because they're very smelly. And one of the things that we did was we made sure that they got put down far in the garbage so that she couldn't get a hold of them. So I think that's important. Any red flags or concerns about the animals that people should be aware of, that behaviors that your animal has that you should be aware of, or that maybe said I should take the dog to the vet, or I should take the dog or check him out further?
Any severe changes in behavior. A dog that has never really had accidents in the house that starts having accidents, generally that's a physical problem, and I always check that first. Do they have a urinary tract infection? Do they have a parasite? You know, is it something simple that a veterinarian could take care of? Also, have they always been good and now all of a sudden they're very anxious? You know, is that a change in behavior, nature, nurture? Could go either way, but checking with your veterinarian is always the best first step.
By the way, did you notice how nice this dog is being down here during this whole interview?
Of course I did, yes, and I'm very proud of both of you.
I want to get some points for that, too. I want to get a special treat. I noticed she's very, she relates very well to the little peanut butter thing, so... she'll do about anything for that.
Yes, that's a favorite.
We mentioned anything. You know why grapes are bad for dogs? Have any idea? Or is it something in them?
It's just something in them.
Yeah, okay.
It is. Yep. And, you know, and we talk about that, about the food, too. It's also about the calories. You know, they say over 40% of pet dogs are obese, and that's true. And that's very unfortunate for us. We want to keep our pets with us as long as possible. And if they're healthy and they're lean, and it just keeps them healthier all around, and it keeps them around longer. And I've definitely seen that.
And I think that that's, you know, we talk about when we have kids, you know, we have that responsibility till they're 18 at least.
Yep.
As my daughter told me, who's 40 years old, I'm not just your little girl. I'm also still your financial responsibility. But I think that we need to at least look at a dog's life. It's going to be 10 to 12 years, probably, depending upon the breed. And that we have that responsibility for that time, and we need to be responsible for them financially and, I would say, educationally. Well, yes, I suppose that's true, too.
That is true.
Okay. So you mentioned that what kinds of things can we do to manage behavior of dogs? If we have dogs that are kind of snappy or tend to, you know, have more aggressive behavior.
Again, contacting a trainer is always a great first step because when it comes to aggression and safety, you want to make sure that you are seeking the advice and help of a professional first, so you and no one else is getting hurt. If it's just that they are suddenly appearing to be more protective of your home, again, maybe more walks, broadening the spectrum of their territory sometimes can help. And also reinforcing the positive, having new people walk in with food and treats and making them see them as somebody that they're happy to see, not a threat.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's important also to have a dog, if you have a female dog, to have the dog spayed?
I think that spaying and neutering is always a good choice for a dog that you're not going to be breeding. And I think that, too, is a conversation you need to be aware of and have with your veterinarian as far as what age. That's constantly changing, too, as to what age you should spay or neuter. And I think it is kinder for the dog not to have to think about that if that's not something that's in their future.
And one thing I want to go over again before we get to the end of the interview, what are the inoculations that you should make sure that the dogs have on a regular basis or tests that they should have?
That changes by where you live and what your veterinarian may recommend. Obviously, rabies is required by law and right. May last, depending on where you live, anywhere from 1 to 3 years is average. And distemper is a combination vaccine, often with leptospirosis, parainfluenza, parvo. But that, too, can vary by where you live and what dangers that your veterinarian may see in your area. And that vaccine can last up to 3 years. So then if you board or groom, you have to have a Bordetella or a kennel cough vaccination. So again, discussing that with your veterinarian is your best bet to make sure your dog is safe and taken care of.
Also, a lot of times when we have small children in a family, we're concerned about how dogs react to the small child.
Yep.
Is that something we should introduce them on a slow basis, or how should we do that?
Yes, and it's best to control it, to have the child interact with the dog with treats and or toys and do it in a positive way and let the dog approach the child, not let the child chase the dog or grab the dog or anything like that. And there's a lot of dogs out there just that love kids and have lots of positive interactions, and that's just positive thing that you should look for when you're looking for a dog if you have a family.
And we are talking about, the family dog versus the service dog here.
Yes.
What are some of the basic commands you would still want a family dog to know?
Come is the number one thing that can obviously save any dog's life if they're chasing something or running across a busy road. So coming when called and a good response to their name. I think every dog should learn how to sit and stay as well. Because as people walk in your door or as you work on something in your home, you need to be able to tell the dog to go stay somewhere and stay out of the way. So I think those are the most important verbal cues that you'd want to give your dog. Leash walking, leash manners is really important too. And if you don't teach them that while they're young, it's really hard to teach them that when they're older. But none of us likes a dog that wants to drag us down the street.
Yeah. Interesting you mentioned that, because I know for me, you know, using a wheelchair, that the command to come is the most important one, mm-hmm. because I can't go run after the dog.
Right.
And I did have one of my service dogs that got loose one time, and I was in downtown Seattle, and a car backfired, scared the dog, took off across the street. And it's like watching your young child run across the, you know, three lanes of cars going. So
I can't imagine.
Yeah. And that's really, and that's one of the things that we've worked on here, you know, that you and I have worked on, is making sure that Maya jumps up in the car. And if you had a wish for all pet owners, what would it be? Do you think they, one of the things that they need to do the most? Good nutrition, good exercise. I guess probably all of the above.
Yeah,
right?
Probably all of the above. It probably would be something, some type of exercise or enrichment for the dog. I feel bad for dogs that are left alone in a backyard all day, or that live outside and never get to be in the home. And I think that would be my wish for dogs, that humans enjoy them more, so the dogs and the humans are living their best
life.
So
that if you have a dog, you need to make sure that you are arranging time in your day, in your schedule, to spend time with that dog and interact.
Yes.
I know right now Maya has been under the table here for a good hour, and she needs to, I'm sure that she'll need some stimulation when she goes back outside. Well, I really appreciate your time to be with us today, and giving us some good information on pets and what we need to do. And remember that Kim is from the Prison Pet Partnership Program that trains service dogs, also has paroled pets. And you can also contact me at Voice of Vashon through my email address. And if you have questions on those things, please give me a call or contact me.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.